My brother Sam Patterson.
Thank you.
And I'm just thinking tonight of a little bit of good cheer for the new year. I trust it will touch our hearts and cheer our hearts as we think a little about the good cheer for a new year. Our first reading is found in the Gospel by Matthew, please. And chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. The readings will be brief. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he that is the Lord Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Our second reading is found in the same gospel, in chapter 14. We commence our reading to verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. John chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. And one verse will suffice, the last verse of the chapter. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our final reading is in the book of Acts, and chapter number 23. And just a brief reading, Acts chapter 23, verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And may God bless to us these very important verses of Holy Scripture. As we come towards the close of another year, there are many dear saints and they've been discouraged along the way. They've been disappointed. Certain troubles have come into their lives and have affected their minds and their thinking. And I just would like this evening to speak a word of encouragement, a word of good cheer. Mr. Darby translates that little term, be of good cheer. He says, be encouraged. Be of good courage. And I want us to ponder this evening a number of reasons why we should be encouraged, why we shouldn't be despondent, why we shouldn't be disappointed, why we shouldn't be down, burdened with cares. I trust it will be a word that will help us lift our spirits. Be of good cheer. Really, it means to have a well mind. The mind's important. The devil attacks the mind. He attacked the mind of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Did he not say, "Hath God said?" He places doubts in our mind. But this evening we just want to anchor our thoughts and our faith in the Word of God and be cheered and to be encouraged. A number of reasons why we should be of good cheer. I once was told that a good preacher tells the people what he's going to preach. And then he preaches it. And then he tells them what he has preached. And I'm not putting myself forth as a good preacher. But simply I want to tell you what's on my mind. And then you'll be able perhaps to follow my train of thought. I want to think of four reasons why we should have good cheer, why we should be encouraged on the pilgrim journey home to heaven. We should be encouraged and cheered because of the Savior's pardon. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We should be cheered and encouraged in the stormy billows of life with the Savior's presence. He could say to his troubled disciples in the boat, "Be of good courage, it is I, be not afraid." The Savior's presence. And in John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These things write I unto you, that ye might have peace." We should be cheered tonight because of the Savior's peace. "It is I, be not afraid." And finally, if time permits, we want to find good cheer and encouragement for our souls because of the Savior's promise and plan. There was Paul in Jerusalem. They would have pulled him to pieces the previous day. And for his own safety, he's put into prison. And that very night, it says the night following the awful day, the Lord Jesus appeared to him there in the prisons, and he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also witness in Rome." The Savior had a plan. The Savior had a purpose. It's interesting to notice in Matthew chapter 9, here was this dear man born of four. He had four friends. They brought him to the Savior. He could do nothing for himself. Helpless, hopeless. His outlook was bleak. His four friends believed that the Lord Jesus could do something for him that none other could do. And as they brought him into the very presence of the Savior, and I'm not going to go into detail, suffice to say the Savior looked down at the dear man before him and he said to him, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Wasn't it a wonderful moment in your experience? When, as it were, you heard those precious words from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the dear man, helpless, there he was, could do nothing for himself, he couldn't walk. But the Savior did something for him that none other could ever have done. And the Savior said to the dear man, "Be of good courage, good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Pardon and assurance filled the dear man's soul. Wonderful day, wasn't it? A wonderful moment in my experience. A wonderful moment in your experience. When we heard that wonderful message from the Savior, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Pardon from an offended God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye. Pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood. Pardon that brings the rebel nigh. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I remember reading about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he was speaking about a little verse in Micah chapter 7. Thou hast cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And as he was speaking about that little text, the Lord has cast all your sins into the depths of the sea, he said reverently, when God cast your sins into the depths of the sea, he put a notice. No fishing. No fishing. They're gone. They're gone. Isn't it wonderful to know our sins are gone? When Satan tempts me to despair, telling of evil yet within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. No fishing. Your sins are gone. Not really the point. It wasn't Mr. Spurgeon that said it, but I thought it since. No fishing on the part of other people's sins either. When God forgives my brother or sister's sins, they're gone. It's a serious matter when a saint falls. When God restores and recovers that dear one, let's remember their sins gone. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. I wonder, is there one in the gathering this evening and you're not saved and your sins are a burden? This could be the very evening, the very night, when you could take God at his word and acknowledge humbly and simply in the presence of God, I am the guilty sinner. But the Lord Jesus, he died for me. Be of good cheer because of the Savior's pardon. Matthew chapter 14. If we were just to notice exactly where the Scripture introduces this incident in Matthew chapter 14, he constrained his disciples to go into a boat. He told them what to do. He told them when to do it. He said to get into a boat and to go to the other side. And he went up into the mountain to pray. Of course, the omniscient one knew all that would happen that night, didn't he? He was the controller of all the circumstances of their lives. But at the certain hour of the night, in the darkness, the storm began to blow and the waves began to be very tempestuous. It was a menacing storm. And there are the disciples in their little boat. They're afraid. They're terrified. But you know, nothing happens by chance. You might be thinking of the circumstances of the past year of your life. They haven't been too pleasant in some respects. But nothing happens by chance. There is one who is in control of every movement of our lives. The billowy seas that roll, the crashing, crushing waves. And there were the disciples crossing the stormy, billowy lakes. What does the Scripture say? At the fourth watch of the night, just at the right time, when the night seemed the darkest, the Lord was near at hand. The one who had power over the elements appeared, and that strong yet gentle voice was heard above the mighty storm to those fearful disciples. Be of good cheer, it's I. Be not afraid the Savior's presence brought them calm and a wonderful peace. How reassuring were the words of the Savior in the darkness of that dread night for those disciples. Be of good cheer. It's I. It's I. The Savior's presence was with them at this very moment. Isn't it wonderful to know? He has promised. He has promised. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake thee. The psalmist could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? The Savior's presence. Thou art with me. Aren't there times in life when we cast ourselves without reserve upon the promises of our God? The promises of God, they're like stars. They're like stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine. Perhaps you've come through some dark days during the year that's passed. Likely we all have. Isn't a wonderful thing when the Savior draws near and he says to us, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. I'm watching the clock. Our third passage in John chapter 16, and we haven't time to develop it really. Said the Lord Jesus to his disciples, he was about to leave them. He was leaving them in a world that would hate them. Why would they hate him? Why would they hate the disciples? Because of their allegiance and love and loyalty to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was leaving his disciples in a world, as I've said already, that would hate them. Because of their association with the Lord Jesus. And the Savior said in John 16, the last verse, he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That's a statement of fact. It is true, isn't it? Ye shall have tribulation, affliction, persecution, falsely accused, condemned, tortured. If we had read the whole chapter together, we would have noticed this. He was leaving them in a world that was dark. He's left us in a world that's dark. A world that's deceiving. A world that is dangerous. A world that is defiling. It's tragic to think of the awful, sinful days in which we are presently living. In John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus told them that they shall put you out of the synagogues. Physically thrust you out of the synagogue, just like the Lord Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth in the Gospel of Luke. They'll not only excommunicate you from the religious system, but they'll bodily put you out of the synagogue. More than that, they could put you to death. And in so doing, they would think that they were doing God a service. That's what he said. Whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. I couldn't help thinking, over the greater part of my life here in the north of Ireland, we have enjoyed tremendous freedom and liberty spiritually. But perhaps those days are on the wane. The laws that have been passed, and I'm not going to go into any detail, you know exactly what I mean. And as our land descends into a vile cesspool of iniquity, there could be persecution ere the Lord should come. Things are not getting easier, any easier. Gospel work is becoming more difficult. The laws of our land are beginning to restrict us. But we shouldn't despair. We shouldn't be unduly downcast. Said the Lord Jesus in John chapter 16, "These things write I unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be encouraged, says the Savior. I have overcome the world." We heard a little about that in our Bible reading this afternoon, did we not? The one who has overcome the world, and by our faith in him and by his power, that victory is equally assured to us, says the apostle in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Says the apostle, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things seen or unseen, aye," and he ransacks the universe and he says, "nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes, be of good cheer. The Savior's pardon. Be of good cheer, the Savior's presence. Be of good cheer, the Savior's peace. And finally, Acts chapter 23. Paul's in Jerusalem. He's had a difficult day or two. Tremendous tribulation. Great tribulation indeed for preaching the gospel, being faithful to his Lord and Master. There's that little interesting little statement that says they would have pulled him in pieces. Such was their animosity. Such was their hatred for the gospel and the things of God that they would have pulled the apostle to pieces, limb from limb. For his own safety, he's taken into the castle or the prison for his own safety. I wonder how he felt. There were difficult circumstances. Paul's energy must have been drained. He was facing loneliness that night in the prison. He's under tremendous strain. But you know, that very night, it turned out to be a wonderful night for the apostle, did it not? It says the Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer." He just didn't say, "Be of good cheer." I like the personal touch. "Be of good cheer, Paul." Isn't it wonderful? The Lord knew all about that dear man. He knows all about me and he knows all about you. I love the personal touch. "Be of good cheer, Paul." You remember a weeping woman came to the grave, came to the tomb, the empty tomb. It was only one word from the Savior. It changed everything for Mary and her tears. One word was Mary. It only takes one word from the Savior to calm our fears, to still our fears, to cheer our hearts, to lengthen our footsteps. "Be of good cheer, Paul." That wasn't everything. There's something more. "For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem," he'd been faithful in Jerusalem, he said, "so must thou also bear witness at Rome." Paul, it's not the end. "I've some little work for you to do yet. You've been faithful in Jerusalem. I'm going to see that you get to Rome to witness for me there as well." Oh, you may feel downhearted tonight. And you may be thinking to yourself, "But look, my service for the Lord is greatly limited. I can't do what I once did." The Lord has still a plan for your life for the rest of your days. Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness at Rome. I've got a plan. I'm sure Paul slept well that night after hearing those words. I'm sure it calmed his fears, stilled his spirit. Yes, he enjoyed the pardon of the Savior. He enjoyed the presence of the Savior. He enjoyed the peace of the Savior. And he realized the Savior had a purpose and a plan for the rest of his life. I'm thankful to God. Whether my days are many or few, God only knows. I'm assured of this. God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. A large percentage of the company here tonight are young. Young folks, God has a plan for your life. Seek His plan. Bow in humble submission to the claims of the risen Christ. I'll guarantee you this. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. If you don't and you live long enough, you may regret you didn't. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Not to take up further time, suffice to say, some 2 years later, this same man, Paul's, he's on a ship that's under great pressure. He's on the journey to Rome. He's going there to testify, and he knows he'll reach it. There's a tremendous storm. All on the deck, all on hands on the ship were afraid that we're going to lose their lives. But Paul was able to say to them in Acts chapter 27, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." It's only in the measure in which we are cheered and encouraged and helped by God that we can in turn be a help and encouragement to others. I might honestly say tonight, these verses have been a tremendous encouragement to my soul in recent times. Some 22 years ago, in August of 1996, I rarely make personal reference, you'll forgive. I was reading in 1 Kings chapter 17 about Elijah and the brook, where the Lord said to Elijah, "Thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." But then it goes on to say, after a while the brook dried up. As I read those words that particular day in my own little study, after a while the brook dried up, I said to myself, what will Elijah do? What did he do? He simply turned his eyes from a failing brook to an unfailing God. I was deeply impressed, and the next Lord's Day in our own assembly at home, I read those few verses after the breaking of bread, and I spoke upon them. And at the close of my brief remarks, I simply asked the question about myself. If the brook dried up for me, could I still trust God? The brook of health, the brook of support, the brook of service, the brook of activity. 2 weeks later, on the 2nd of September that year, I suffered a stroke that knocked me out of action for 6 or 8 months. It basically affected my memory. A whole day is a blank. I know not what I did except what people told me, where I had been and what I had done. I wakened up in the hospital. Gradually came back, my memory came back somewhat, but it was as if someone had pressed the delete button on the computer in my brain. Passages of scripture, little messages I had preached, and so much that was stored within my mind, the delete button had been pressed. I couldn't recall it. For 6 or 8 months I struggled, I wondered, will I ever speak again? Has the brook dried? Well, there were some dark days. There were frustrating moments, I've got to admit. But by the grace of God, we were able to press on. And in the goodness of God, we were restored to a fairly good measure of health. But when that delete button had been pressed and all those things in the memory were gone, I had to relearn them all. But during the past 20 years, I've got to admit, we're still learning to trust God. Learning to trust God. Trusting Him. We were singing earlier, while life shall last, trusting Him till earth is past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus. That is all. Dear saints, remember this. When all else fails, God remains. When all else fails, God remains. 20+ years ago, I was tested on my own ministry. I often think, as preachers, we've got to be careful how we handle the truth of God. We're tested on our own ministry. Be of good cheer. May God bless you. Warm your heart and draw you closer to the blessed man of Calvary. Thank you.